Thank you. You remember back in the days when we talked about good news, bad news? Remember those? I think I may have shared this with you before, but I was working in a church program with youth and children, and it was like a day camp. And we would send buses out. None of us were very good at fixing buses, and so they were a bit of a hassle. And I was asked to drive one of the buses. And one time we came back from our route at noon, and I went into the office where the director of the day camp was sitting with some other staff members. And I said, I have some bad news, good news, and bad news. And he said, oh, what do you have? He said, well, you know that muffler that you and Dave spent all afternoon putting on the bus yesterday? In Curtisville, it fell off. He said, well, that's bad news. I said, but I stopped, and Bob went back, and he picked up the muffler off the road. So we have it. He said, oh, that's good news. And I said, what's the other bad news? I said, we had run over it. Bob came in with a flat muffler. Today, we're looking at redemption, and you can look at it from the perspective of good news, bad news, good news. You can look at it that way. And to kind of set the stage for that, a couple of points. The idea of revelation, not the book of the Bible, but the theological concept, simply means God giving information about himself. He reveals. So it's a revelation, especially a revelation of God. Of God in his person and his works. theologians like to talk about two kinds of revelation. There is general revelation, which is the creation, and Psalm 19 verses 1 and 2 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. You get the idea of revelation there with declare. Declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. It's a revelation of God and his works and his ways. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Of course, that's a metaphorical idea of speech. But the idea is we can get information about God from the creation. We can learn many things about him. In Romans chapter 1, the apostle says, what is known about God is plain because God has made it plain to him, to them, to us. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that we are without excuse. So we can look at the creation, and we can get information about God. Special revelation, on the other hand, special revelation is verbal revelation, not metaphorical, but actual words that come to people. It has come in more than one way, but we know it best as the Scripture. So in some ways you could say that special revelation is the Bible. And we learn more about God than just who he is and what he can do. But we even learn how we can be saved. Some people say that the Bible is the history of God's work with the people. And other people note that you can take the word history and call it his story, meaning the story of Christ. And the Bible, in many ways, is the story of redemption. How sinful people can be redeemed and rescued. Now, a second aspect of, like, background is to consider the nature of people. When God created us, he created us good. He says that, actually. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, the livestock, and so on. And he created, the Bible says, man in his own image. in the image of God. He created them. Male and female, he created them. So we are created in the image of God. We are a very special part of the creation. No other part of the creation is language like that used, where it's discussed as the image of God. And then at the end of Genesis 1, prophet wrote, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. So when mankind was made, we were made in the image of God, and we were made good. That's good news, that we're in the image of God, and that we were created good. When we think about the image of God, there can be some confusion. Sometimes we tend to be too literal. The image of God is not a reference to how we look, feel, or act. It's a reference to character. In the New Testament, there are a couple of verses where it talks about the image or likeness of God, and they talk about knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. So those are character qualities. Those are character qualities that God has, and we are created in his image with those same qualities. More than just those three, those are just examples. It doesn't mean that we have the same level of holiness or knowledge that God does, but we do have those same qualities. And that's good news. It's good news to know that we have been blessed in that way. However, without going into the details, we know that image has been perverted. Sin is in the world. Evil is present among us. And the creation has been perverted. One place where you can see this discussed is in Romans 3. When it talks about people now, it doesn't talk using language of the fact that we are good. Rather, we read this. These are quotes from the Old Testament that the Apostle Paul has put together in Romans 3. There is no one righteous, not even one. No one who understands. No one who seeks God. All have turned away and together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Now the apostle goes on in what follows there and discusses some ways, not all the ways, but some of the ways in which we are ungood. And that is our speech and our acts, the way we treat each other violently. Doesn't exhaust the subject, but it presents a terrible picture of how the image of God has been perverted and that which was good is no longer good. That is bad news. The result, according to God, both his promise and what actually happened, is death. We are considered dead. We have to be made alive in order to possibly restore this perverted image. But we are dead. And that's the way the Bible presents it. The wages of sin is death. We also are slaves. Jesus introduced that idea in his teaching when he talked about the result of sin. He says, I tell you the truth, this is Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And the Apostle Paul picks up on that idea in many of his teachings. And we are slaves, we are bound, we are in bondage. This is bad news, very bad news. Can the dead make themselves alive? Can the person in bondage take those bonds off? Those are rhetorical questions, and the answer is no. We cannot. Bad news. So we've had some good news and some bad news. So now we need some more good news, don't we? And the other good news is redemption. What's the response that God has made? This passage doesn't have the word redemption in it or redeemed in it, but it certainly talks about what God's response has been to this terrible situation where people are in a lost condition in bondage and dead. And he says this, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. This is Ephesians 2. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed to us, his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved. So God reaches down to us, and although Paul doesn't say redemption here in this passage in Ephesians 2, he does say it in Ephesians 1. This is redemption. It's rescue. Rescue from bondage. Deliverance from death. Redemption. When the Bible talks about redemption, the meaning of the word redemption, it has the idea of ransom. There's a payment of death. I wished I could have included among the hymns we're looking at, Jesus Paid It All. Sorry, it doesn't have the word redemption in, so I didn't use it. And Can It Be? Lost out because of it doesn't have the word redemption. But the idea is present in so many of the hymns. It seems that the poets and musicians, the artists who try to share what they feel about God, write a great deal about the concepts of redemption. In fact, when I was choosing music for Wilbur James' sermon 2 weeks ago, I just saw so much music, so much really good stuff, and poems that just give you goosebumps. When we were rehearsing earlier today, we were doing one of these hymns, and I just got goosebumps. I had played the song 50 times in the last 2 or 3 weeks, but as we sang it, and we consider what God has done, it's a very emotional thing, or it can be. And so Jesus pays a ransom. The idea of ransom is present. Rescue, deliverance from bondage, deliverance from death. In Titus, we have a scripture in Titus. These are supposed to be all marked here. Jesus Christ, our God, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Well, that's the rescue. Rescue is being redeemed out of bondage and out of death back into us, a status of goodness. And we are rescued to do good, to be good. And redemption accomplishes this. God does this for us. Now, for responding, we're going to use music. So the rest of the sermon time is mostly going to be taken up with hymns. We'll be singing hymns. The praise team will be leading us in some of them. And also, during this past few weeks, Crystal and I have been looking at slideshows of our most recent vacation, where we went to Colorado and Arizona. We touched Utah and also New Mexico. And we were in the mountains, you could say. And we have compiled some slideshows to put together with these hymns. So when Jeff prayed the opening prayer. I thought it was a great prayer, except that he only talked about two kinds of response. We can respond with singing, or we can respond with words, but we can also respond with what we see. God is visible. God reveals himself. I think it's clear we don't see redemption in the creation, but we see the same kinds of qualities about God in the creation that are present in redemption. That is, qualities about God. It's because of his grace that we have redemption. But it's also a reflection upon his grace, many of the things that are in the creation. So we will have some slides. We'll take the lights down and try to read the lyrics without the church, the lights in the worship hall. We'll be having those slides looping during the time we're singing. We'll be doing four sections, and each section will have a separate loop in which some aspect of the creation that somehow links to the hymns that we're singing there. So to introduce the first one, we look at Psalm 111 and verse 9. Psalm 111, verse 9 says this: He, meaning God, promised or provided redemption for his people, ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. So we can visit the idea of holy and awesome. God is a holy and awesome God. And as a result of that, he provided redemption. Now, so when we see something in creation, I'm suggesting, that is holy and awesome, it ought to remind us of redemption. Are you following me? So hopefully the words that the poet wrote and the music that the musician added to it will coincide with the mountains that we're going to be looking at. That's what we're calling this slide, mountains. And we can worship God somehow better that way. That's the goal. So the first one is 69. We will sing all the verses. There's five verses. On the fifth verse, we will use the optional verse. And we will have a solo from our praise team on verse 2. And during that time, you can especially look at the slideshow. And also verse 3 will be led by the praise team. So you will not be singing. You will not need to look at your book. You can see the slideshow. And then you come back in on verses 4 and the optional verse 5.
Holy, 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 Lord God mighty, and we lift our hands before you as a token of our love. Holy, 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 gracious Father, gracious Father, we're so blessed to be your children. Grant we lift our hands before you as a token of our love. Gracious Father, gracious Father, precious Jesus, precious Jesus, we're so glad you redeemed us, precious Jesus, and we lift our hands before you as a token of our love. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and fill our day, Holy Spirit, and we lift our voice before you as a token of our love. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, 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 and we lift our a token of our love. Alleluia, Alleluia.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship the triune God, our Redeemer. For the next song, number 68, we have a praise team on the second verse, just as the previous song. So don't sing on the second verse, but come back in on verse 3, number 68. At all times, in all circumstances, we purpose to worship our Redeemer. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, for the next section. I mentioned to you that Ephesians had a discussion of redemption. It certainly does in the first chapter. I'm going to read 4 through 8. The first few verses especially refer to hymn number 312 that we will do first, and then the second part more to hymn 21. But I'm going to read them all 4 through 8. He chose us in him, meaning in Christ, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Notice again, that's the restoration of that good that we were created to be. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. So the next section is especially thinking of God's wisdom and understanding. We see that in redemption, what a tremendous plan God developed and accomplished to redeem us. And we also see his wisdom and understanding in the creation. I call this rivers. This should be animals. Can you switch to animals? Ah, there we are. Okay, animals. So for the first hymn, we do page 312. We will sing verses 1 to 3, and the second verse again will be done by the praise team, so you can especially look at the slides. You won't need to be looking at the words.
Far dearer than all that the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My path with sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and a Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he bore and the thorns that he bore told his mercy and love evermore, and my heart bowed in shame as I called on his name, and come it all. Come it all. My path with sin and sin, my guilt and pain, Jesus took on him there, and covered it all. How matchless the grace when I look at his if I my redemption, I then found at his feet, he covers it all. Covers it all. My path with a sin and stain,
After you received Jesus as your Savior, you experienced grace, mercy, and love. You experienced God, your Redeemer. And Charles Wesley notes things we lose in redemption. We lose fear and sorrow. And he notes some things we gain. We gain life and health, peace and freedom, and we gain those as a result of the work of our Redeemer. All the verses.
Oh, for a thousand times to sing my
hymns under the same theme of wisdom and understanding. And the first one is number 511. Again, we have the second verse. We'll do verses 1 to 3. Again, the second verse will be a praise theme. When we think about our redemption, the author tries to capture the idea that we really can't understand it. The understanding of God is always going to be greater than ours. So we really can't understand it. We can understand in some sense, but we really can't understand it. It's too wonderful for us to understand our redemption. Number 511, verses 1 to 3.
His presence, O divine, true and tender, pure and precious, oh, how blessed to call Him mine. Oh, and the fairest of 10,000, love of Christ so freely given, God of grace beyond degree, mercy higher than the heaven, deeper than the deeper sea. Jesus, you are with me, and the best of 10,000, even my for redemption. How my sin looked like crimson, can be wanted again.
This next one's a little bit complicated. 308. And the praise team is adding in pieces of another hymn, which I won't even tell you the number because you don't have to go there, because they will do it. So we will do the first verse on of 308, and then the praise team will do the other hymn, one verse, and then the praise team will do the second verse of 308, not the congregation. And then after the second verse, the praise team will again sing a verse from the other hymn, and then all together we will do the third verse. Is that clear? So you're not doing the second verse, and you're not doing the other hymn. That all happens in one block, and the praise team does that. You can be enjoying the slideshow during that period. I put these two together not just because they have a great similar message, but also they were written by husband and wife. You may recognize this one as being written by Melody Green, the wife of Keith Green, who was maybe more well-known than his wife, but they used to travel together and do concerts together. So I like putting them together because of that. So this focuses a little bit on the Trinity. And when we think of the Trinity in redemption, it's easy for us to forget that the Father and the Spirit are involved in redemption, not just the Savior. Of course, Jesus is crucial. He is the actual Redeemer. But you could put it this way. The Father plans, the Son accomplishes, and the Spirit applies it to us, the work of our Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's Lord, precious Lamb of God, the Son, Holy One. And leaving your spirit the work is done. Lord, your beautiful, your and when you're on your
told you why I picked animals for that idea of wisdom and understanding. I think when you look at the animals, you can really see God's wisdom. There's some really amazing animals. We had enjoyable encounters with different animals, which you might have seen in May when we were on vacation. We saw a coyote, and we saw marmots, a number of marmots, elk, and so on. And they're just really interesting and fascinating creatures. Next scripture we're looking at is also in Ephesians, where the apostle talks about redemption this way. He says, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So the idea that's present there is God's glory. So redemption brings him glory. So I've tried to come up with some slides of things that show his glory. And so it's kind of a combination of light and flowers to do that. And we'll be singing number 109. And there's two verses to it. We'll have a solo on the second verse. We also have a special ending, so be alert.
Hear the story from God's word that kings and priests and prophets heard.
For the second in this fourth section. To introduce it, I've chosen a verse from Revelation. It's several verses with some parts skipped. But we find these words, "You are worthy," it's talking to the Lamb. "You are worthy because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased us for God. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive honor and glory and praise. We praise our Redeemer.
Glory,
benediction, and then we will be singing 79. You can turn to 79. Perhaps you would like to rise. Just didn't realize he was singing. He did it. I remember one time when I was at a youth camp, we had an exercise in which we told God we loved Him, and a woman who was there, retirement age, testified later that she had never said that to God. She held God in such awe and didn't feel like she could say, "I love you," to God. I think that's unfortunate. God is wants to be intimate with us. We have an example in the Psalms where the psalmist says, "I love you, O God, my King." So I think it's altogether right and appropriate for us to say, "I love you," to God, and say it often. So we're going to do that here to close. And of course, we're especially thinking about our redemption. And we're saying, "I love you," to God, especially because of what Jesus has done and all that he sacrificed and all that the Father sacrificed and all the work of the Holy Spirit that goes into that. This is the only one we have that we're singing that doesn't have the word redemption in it. But it's our response, isn't it? When we think about redemption, when we think about God as creator, it should work on our emotions to say I love you to him. So we'll have the benediction, and then trying to see what I'm going to play here. Did I use strings? Please receive God's benediction. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord and Savior, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We're going to sing part of 78 and then going into 79.
In me.
Thank you.